Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Hello everybody and welcome along to the Michelin Countdown to Green for the IMSA Sports Car Weekend at Road America. We've got an absolutely packed programme for you. Coming up, the Porsche keys to the race. Shea Adams has been talking to all of our pole sitters and Jeremy Shaw is standing by with me, John Hindhoff, in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre to run down the grid for this afternoon's main event.
So we are looking at, this is the IMSA Sports Car Weekend, the IMSA WearTech Sports Car Championship. It's round 7 for DPI, it's round 6 for GTLM GTD, it's round 5 for LMP3, it's round 4 for LMP2. It's also the 5th round of the GTD Sprint Cup Championship. 35 cars will make up the grid for today's race. Let's start at the back. Don Yount will start number 42 NTE Sport Audi R8 LMS GT3. Making that car's return to the series, always welcome. Alongside him on the grid is John Potter, car number 44, that's the Magnus with Archangel Acura NSX GT3. In the 33rd position on the grid, car number 19, Misha Goitberg, the GRT Grasser Racing Team Lamborghini Huracan GT3. Alongside the Gradient Racing Acura NSX GT3, that's car number 66, Till Bechtelsheimer. Rob Ferriel will start in the 31st position at car number 88. The Team Hardpoint EBM Porsche 911 GT3R alongside him. The Gilbert Courthove Motorsports Mercedes AMG GT3 making its second start in the series. Shane Lewis will start car number 32. Car number 76 is the 29th car on the grid. Jeff Kingsley, the Compass Racing Acura NSX GT3. Here for company on that row of the grid is Madison Snow, the Paul Miller Racing number 1 Lamborghini Huracan GT3. The Lexus for Vassar Sullivan of car number 12 will be started by Frankie Montecalvo alongside the championship leader in GTD, Roman De Angelis, number 23 Heart of Racing Team, Aston Martin Vantage GT3. The 25th position, car number 39, Carbon with Peregrine Racing Audi R8 LMS GT3. The starting driver is Richard Highstand. Alongside him, Zach Robichon, car number 9, the Pfaff Motorsports Porsche 911 GT3R. The top three positions on the grid in GTD, Robbie Foley, that's car number 96, Turner Motorsport BMW M6 GT3. Second position on the grid, the Wright Motorsports Porsche 911 GT3R. Car number 16 is Trent Hindman. And on the pole position, for the fifth time in his career, the second time this season, the number 14 Vassar Sullivan Lexus RCF GT3 from Wisconsin, a very popular pole sitter, is Aaron Tielitz. The three GTLM cars, car number 79 is Cooper McNeil, WeatherTech Racing Porsche 911 RSR 19, and the two regular Corvette Racing Chevrolet Corvette C8Rs. Second on the grid once again is Nick Tandy in car number 4, but on the class pole in GTLM, car number 3, the ninth pole of his career and his third in succession, that'll be Jordan Taylor. Moving on to the 7 LMP3 cars in this field, all of them Ligier JSP320s. In the 7th position in the class, 17th overall, car number 91, the Riley Motorsports entry of Jim Cox. Then the 16th on the grid overall, Terry Olsen making his debut in the Junior 3 racing entry. That's car number 30, alongside another debutant, that's Wolver Racing, Augie Papps, local driver, tremendously famous name here at Road America as well, from one of the premier Wisconsin families. His great-great-great-grandfather founded the Papps Racing Brewery. That's 61, Augie Papps, the third. John Bennett will start car number 54 for Core Autosport. Alongside him, Jarrett Andretti, car number 36 for Andretti Autosport. The front row of the grid in LMP3, Gar Robinson, the championship leader for Riley Motorsports in car number 74. And on the pole position for the first time, a really good job in qualifying for Performance Tech Motorsports in the car number 38 from Florida is Dan Goldberg. Before LMP2 cars, Dwight Merriman for the Era Motorsport in car number 18. Alongside him, John Ferrano from Canada, the Tower Motorsport number 8. And on the front row, continuing their battle that's been going all the way through the season, in second on the grid is car number 11, that's Stephen Thomas for Wynn Autosport. And on the pole position again for PR1 Matheson Motorsports in car number 52 is Ben Keating. He scored his first ever pole here at Road America. Loves this place. Top six cars, well, they are all DPIs. Sixth on the grid for Meyer Shank Racing with Kerberger Jane in the car number 60 from France is Olivier Pla. Fellow Frenchman Tristan Vautier will start car number 5 from the fifth position, the Mustang Sampling JDC Miller Motorsports Cadillac DPI. The similar Cadillac for Chip Ganassi Racing on the fourth position, that's car number 01, Kevin Magnussen, who made his IndyCar debut here a couple of months ago for Ganassi Racing. Kevin Magnussen starting the fourth position alongside him. Oliver Jarvis, car number 55, the Mazda Motorsports Mazda RT24P. Onto the front row of the grid, the Konica Minolta Acura ARX05, the championship leader, car number 10, started by Ricky Taylor. But on the pole position, a tremendous effort in wet and very difficult conditions yesterday in the number 31 Wieland Engineering Racing Cadillac DPI from Brazil. The second pole in his career, the first this season for the winners at last time out in the most recent race for DPI. That was at Watkins Glen. The pole sitter is Felipe Nasr.
I'll be hearing from all five of our pole sitters in this Michelin Countdown to Green, but we'll start with the GT classes. And after qualifying yesterday, our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter Shea Adam caught up with Aaron Tielitz. But first, in GT Le Mans, asked Jordan Taylor how the session went for him.
Obviously a good session for us. We got a wet session in yesterday to kind of get an idea of what the car was doing. So kind of heading into qualifying, we had somewhat confidence to know what to expect tire pressure-wise and the warm-up of the tire. It was a little bit drier than yesterday, not as much standing water, but I think getting the lap time in early when the tire was at its peak was what kind of got us the pole. I think we almost replicated the lap time at the end, but I think that was just kind of me figuring out where to go in the wet. But yeah, car was consistent, car was strong, obviously another 1-2 for Corvette in qualifying, so it bodes well for the race tomorrow, no matter whether it's wet or dry, I think we'll be strong.
Aaron Tielitz, you know how important it is to get a pole position in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, particularly in the GTD class. You're the first repeat pole sitter in that category this year, but getting it at your home track, it's got to be just that little bit extra special.
Oh yeah, it feels amazing. Obviously, I love Road America. That's my home track. I've got a lot of friends and family and sponsors, supporters that are coming out this weekend to watch me race. And our team didn't let me down. The Vassar Sullivan Lexus RCF GT3 car, absolutely amazing in those mixed conditions. It was just starting to rain when we went out, and we all went out on slick tires. Everybody did, and the rain just kind of kept picking up as the session went on. So it was just like it was a race to get tire temp and to get a lap in.
The car is really good in the dry, obviously, but even better in the wet. Last year, the Lexus getting a 1-3 in the rain. You doing a rain dance to try and make sure it stays that way for the race?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We struggled a little bit in like the light rain conditions. So when you first switch over to wet tires, maybe not quite as good as some of the competitions. So we got some work to do there. But I think if it's a full wet race, really, really wet track, we'll be in good shape. So I'm excited for anything. I think we're going to be in good shape no matter what.
What's the secret? Drinking Spotted Cow the night before the race, eating an extra brat? You guys giving the Wisconsin extra love?
Oh, for sure. I was at the Siebkins bar with some of my crew guys just a couple minutes ago, but going to be in bed nice and early before 9:30 here. So plenty of time to get a lot of beauty rest and ready to go for tomorrow.
Aaron, good luck in the race.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
We'll hear from our prototype Paul Sitters a little later on in this Michelin Countdown to Green. We'll also have our Porsche keys to the race. Jeremy Shaw at GTs, obviously GT Le Mans, the battle of the two Corvettes, but GT Daytona, cracking session. What do you reckon to the prospects there? Jeremy Shaw.
As always, really, really good. We've seen a lot of parity in the class in GTD this season in particular, and I expect nothing more than that again today. What was interesting is there's quite a completely different lineup in terms of the qualifying order for this race, the way the cars will line up on the grid, and the separate session that determines the points for this round of the championship as well. It's a very confusing system, but they are totally different in terms of their makeup, but it is the order in which they will line up that we've just talked about, and that's going to be the one we will focus on, of course, for the race. So it will be the Lexus starting up front again, looking to keep its streak going.
You're listening to Michelin Countdown to Green. It's Jeremy Shaw and John Hindhoff in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, joined before we get underway in sound and vision for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Weekend race by Shea Adam, our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. She has been talking to all of our pole sitters, so let's hear from the prototype pole sitters with Shea Adam.
Dan Goldberg, what a pole position yesterday for the LMP3 category. Mixed conditions, looked a bit sketchy out there. You were throwing it down with Gar Robinson. It looked like a whole load of fun. What was it like from behind the wheel, though?
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy session. A lot to deal with, a lot of different things going on. Interesting looking back on it, you know, how the times are coming down during the session, you know, on track, I'm not really looking at the times in a session like that. You're just kind of giving it all you got. You don't know if the next lap will be better or worse. You don't know if it'll be raining harder or not. Even the last lap that, where I did end up earning the pole back, and the last lap, it was raining pretty hard on the back, coming into Canada Corner. And as I was doing that lap, I'm like, oh, this will be slower because there's so much more rain. I'm just sure I'll be slower. But came across the line and there was silence on the radio. I knew I took that as a sign that they were waiting to see how everyone else came across. And then they came on and I was pretty, pretty pumped in the car there after that. Yeah.
What's it like to be a part of the Performance Tech team, a championship winning organization?
Oh, it's great. I've been involved with them for over 10 years now. Before that, I was doing club racing and saw them at the track and was kind of like a kid peering over the fence trying to see what was going on in the cool part of town. So eventually I started talking with Brent a long time ago now and ultimately got involved. So he's really, Brent O'Neill and Performance Tech really guided my professional racing career, a big part of being where I'm at. I credit to Brent and his guidance and being with the team. But it's a great team. It's a family-oriented team. We have a lot of fun together. When it comes down to time to be on track, we take it very seriously. It's a great organization to be with.
You're another South Florida native, right? So this hills and stuff, it's different for racing, isn't it?
I guess, but you know, I've been traveling around the country for at least a few years of this, so gotten used to it. But yeah, Sebring's our home track. Maybe you might think it has hills with all the bumps there, but yeah, biggest hills maybe on the tracks we have in Florida are the banks of Daytona, maybe.
Yeah.
But this track, this is one of my favorites. I think Sebring I consider my favorite track, my home track. I think this is my next favorite track around the whole country, everywhere I've been. I just have a good time here. I love the environment. I love the fans. I love the natural aspect of it, and the actual track layout just fine suits me pretty well.
Good luck getting Performance Tech's first win of the season today. I feel like it's going to be a good one.
All right. Thank you very much.
So that's our LMP3 pole sitter then. Jeremy Shaw, just one manufacturer as far as chassis are concerned in LMP3, which is slightly disappointing. They've been a great addition to the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. We still have the IMSA Prototype Challenge, where we have more than one chassis manufacturer. When are we going to be able to get some of the other guys to come over and give us some variety?
It's strange, isn't it? Because we've had a couple of different teams run the Ducane chassis earlier in the season, but they've just both dropped out for various reasons. So it's now all Ligier. But as you say, in the Prototype Challenge Series, there's plenty of Ligiers there. In fact, one of them is leading the championship in that series. So the car is certainly competitive. It's just kind of, I think, pure coincidence that there's none of them running now, and they were all running Ligiers. But look, it's a super competitive class. In any case, it's definitely growing. We've got two new entries to the series this weekend. There's some fluctuation amongst the entries who enters which race, but it's a really strong class, and I think it bodes well for the future for LMP3.
Let's have a look at our Porsche keys to the race. Shea Adam, weather or not, it's been one of those weekends so far. When it's been nice, it's been lovely. When it hasn't, it has been challenging. What's the forecast for this afternoon?
Well, I can tell you there's no rain in the forecast for the next 90 minutes, but after that, it looks a bit daunting. We've had pop-up showers in this part of the world in this time of the year, summertime, become frequent and in some cases biblical, as we've seen for every day this past week in the afternoon. Chances are we're going to get some water on the track before the end of this race. The question is, how far into the race and how far into your pit window is it?
That means, Jeremy, that flexible strategy and the ability to react is going to be one of our top Porsche keys to the race at come the 2 hours and 40 minutes race.
It is, but with a 4 mile racetrack, which is twice as long as some of the tracks we race on, that means the lap times are longer. There's less laps in a stint, so it becomes kind of more homogenized, if you like, in some respect, and it makes the strategic decisions that much difficult, much more difficult, because you've got to do a whole extra 4 miles to do one more lap. So the timing of the pit stops is certainly going to be critical here, and the question is perhaps not as much as when it comes, but how much comes, because if it's an awful lot, then this place can get really, really sketchy very, very quickly.
And that point you made there, Jeremy, about the distance of the racetrack and the fact that it's all uphill from Canada Corner, I've written down these fuelish things, because we have seen races decided here, either in the run to the checkered flag or somebody trying to eke out an extra lap before their pit. If that goes wrong here, it tends to go horribly wrong.
It does, yeah. You're not going to get up to the finish line. We've seen that a bunch of times over the years. And even in yesterday's Michelin Pilot Challenge race, we had two or three cars run out of fuel on the final lap, trying to stretch that load and not quite making it. One of them agonizingly just at the bottom of that last hill that leads uphill to the start-finish line.
I felt terrible for that. It really was. Shea, no mistakes, I've written here. Now, that's an obvious thing to say in our Porsche keys to the race. And I'm not just talking about ill-advised overtaking manoeuvres here. This is a team sport. Any mistakes in the pits, any penalties that need a drive-through, they will be costly here because of the length of the pit lane and the speed that the cars are going down the front stretch in relation to you trundling down the pit lane at pit lane speed.
Yes, and you might think that because the track is so much longer, your chances of perhaps losing a lap are less, but 39 seconds is a pit lane delta to go from pit in to pit exit. That is a large chunk of time that you're talking about losing a quarter of your lap time. And then the speed lost getting down to the pit speed and to re-accelerate, it is a massive no-no. So in terms of keeping it clean on the track and in the pit lane, here, more than other places, it's pivotal.
Yeah, team sport. We will have more than one pit stop if the race goes to its full 2 hours and 40 minutes. Off the track is normally not very good, Jeremy. Here, there's not an awful lot of places that you're going to get away with it. Certainly coming out of the carousel and down through the right-hand corner, which is euphemistically called the kink. As you rightly said earlier in the weekend, it's a proper corner. You can pinball down there. It's almost like a street track. But even where there is runoff, for the most part, other than at turn five, it tends to be grass. And with all the water that's fallen from the sky recently, even that isn't your friend this afternoon.
Very easy to get stuck in those grassy areas here, just minimal traction there. Several corners, there's gravel traps as well, and that's all been sort of wetted down. So in some ways, it'll give you a little bit more traction. We have seen some cars drive through the sandy gravel traps, particularly at turn 14, and get back out onto the racetrack. But you're always going to lose a lot of time. But we've also seen several cars stuck in there as well. So basic rule of thumb is keep out of the gravel.
And in fairness, Jeremy, even just going across the back of the curbs, we've seen issues with people doing that. Again, because of the extreme weather that we've had, there are one or two wee trenches that have been dug behind the back of the curbs. Normally, if you just put a little bit of your Michelin tyre off there, it wouldn't be so bad. And actually, it's not bad going off, but the coming back on can be destructive.
It can. There's some fairly deep sort of ruts in there on the edge of the asphalt, kind of on the end of the curbing, if you like. Particularly at turn three, I think, is probably the most extreme version of that. And that can cause a lot of damage. And also, running wide there, not only can it cause damage to the car when you go down into that dip, it can also potentially damage perhaps even the inside shoulder of the tyres if you rub it along that hard edge.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point indeed. Suspension, drive shafts, all can take a hammering if you're dropping off over the edge. It's the Michelin Countdown to Green for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Weekend. It's the big race coming with Jeremy Shaw and John Hindhoff in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shea Adam will be patrolling the pits and the paddock for information and making sure that we get you all of the info that matters. We've got a couple more pole sitters to talk about in the prototype classes. LMP2, let's find out who's on pole position and what they thought about their qualifying session.
LMP2 championship for 2021 points leader and pole sitter for the Road America race, Ben Keating. We know that you're fast in the quick, in the dry and the wet. How is your rocket ship going to be for this race, though?
Well, it's interesting. I was really worried coming into this weekend because we didn't have much practice time. There was only 1 hour or two different one-hour sessions to set up for the car. Mikkel Jensen, my co-driver, has never been to Road America before, and I've never driven an LMP2 at Road America, so I was worried about what that was going to be like with limited practice time. And of course, in the first session, half of it got red flagged and canceled because of lightning. And the second half of it was drenched, totally wet. You know, we both got some laps, a few laps in the wet last night. Yesterday, my weather app said that we were going to have dry qualifying, and the closer it got, the worse it looked. We went into the office there in the truck, and we studied his wet lap, his quick laps in the wet from last night, and he kind of talked me through, where to find the grip, which was very nice. The one advantage that most people don't know about is that when you're leading the points championship, you're further down pit lane, you're further close to pit out. And luckily, I got to start qualifying from out front. I had the 11 car right behind me, and so I was able to kind of judge what was, where he was based off where he was to me. And, it's so hard to see in a race car when you're behind somebody in the wet because there's so much spray coming up. The car in front of you is throwing up all this water, and it creates a wall that you can't see through. And so Steven was really trying to stay close to me. And I knew that as long as I was in front of him, that I was in good shape. And the team wisely told him to back off a little bit. And so I got a couple laps under my belt there. And I felt really good in the car. And in my third lap, I spun it full rotation all the way around in turn three. And I stopped with my front tires in the gravel, splitter in the gravel. Luckily, I put it in reverse. The car sank down, the tires spun. Eventually, I got enough grip, slowly pulled out of the gravel, and I didn't know it until afterwards. But, you know, my last lap was, I think, 2/100ths of a second faster than my first lap. So it was exciting. You know, we were in P1 for the whole session. And, you know, Stephen and I have had a great battle in every qualifying session so far this year. I expected this to be another one. You know, who knows? It may have been. You know, lucky for me, he spun in the last corner, you know, in corner 14 there. And that's the worst place to spin at the end of a session, because it ruins that lap that you're going to go on to. And there are only 3 minutes left in the session. So I knew that you know, he was going to see the checkered flag next time he came around.
Well, it's your second pole position at Road America in two different classes. Good luck tomorrow getting your first win in LMP2, since you've already knocked that off in GTD.
That is that feels like a tall order right now, but it'll definitely be nice to start up front, and I'm looking forward to it. But at least for me right now, it looks like it's going to be a dry race.
We can all hope that, can't we? That's Ben Keating, LMP2, pole sitter, along with Mikkel Jensen for PR1 Matheson Motorsport, talking to Shea earlier on today. We're going to be keeping an eye on that weather. In fairness, Jeremy, Ben Keating has adapted to that LMP2 car very well. He's off to Le Mans as well, of course. Huge amount of GT racing behind him. But stepping up to a prototype like that, never an easy thing to do.
No, but he's been in and out of prototypes, hasn't he, now for several years. So he's got a good amount of experience in these cars now, and getting more and more comfortable, though, as you say, and doing an excellent job, too. He and Stephen Thomas have had some super battles already this season. And as he said there, we hope, like he does, that they continue.
It's the Michelin Countdown to Green for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship at Road America. And we're in, we're in the last few minutes before we go sound and vision via imsaradio.com. If you want to get in touch with us at imsaradio on Twitter, the only person we haven't talked to yet is our pole sitter for Wheel and Engineering. Normally, Pipo Durrani would go out, but it wasn't Pipo this time. It was Felipe Nasr, and he spoke to Shea earlier on.
Felipe Nasr, it was pole position at Petit Le Mans, and he went on to win that race. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that it happens again for Road America. But how difficult was it to get this pole when the weather conditions were so hard?
It was pretty tricky. I can say that, you know, when we roll out for qualifying yesterday, that was pretty much my only laps that I had in the rain, because we didn't do FP1. So it was all about understanding the grip that was available each lap, and I could feel... you know, this place, it's pretty narrow where the grip level is. You put a wheel, you know, a few inches to one side to the other, and then you can just feel there's no grip there. And, but, you know, I was just chipping away every lap, and I could feel by the third and the fourth lap was when I had the peak on the Michelin tires, and I made the most out of it. And I was able to, it's just a nice feeling when you're able to put it all together. We race drivers know, it's a very satisfying feeling, and I knew that lap was going to be the one. And I just had enough clear track that I could put it all together. And that was a pretty good lap. The car handled pretty well. The 31 Wheel and Engineering was fast through all the session. And so when I crossed the line, they said, well, that should be good enough for pole. I then tried for another lap, and I ended up, you know, pushing the limits a little further into turn five, into the braking, and I ended up spinning there. But no, there wasn't no big deal. It was just myself trying to find, you know, where the grip level was. And but anyways, happy that we got pole. You know, we've been coming from a strong result, a win in the final race that we did in Watkins. So It's great to get the whole team, you know, this confidence boost coming over here, and you know, keeping up the fight for the championship. So, good place to start the race, and I'm looking forward for today.
Well, and you mentioned the championship. You and people are very much embroiled in this championship fight. And with the back half of the season coming up, a lot of tracks that you guys are strong at, how important is it to keep that winning momentum going after the Watkins Glen race?
It's super important. And if you just take the races that we have now, so Road America and the three others from, you know, Laguna, Long Beach and Road Atlanta, I'll probably say Long Beach and Road Atlanta, it's probably in our favor, looking at the history from the, you know, past results and so on. So being on pole here means a lot for us, which this track tends to go a little more biased to the Acura. But, hey, we're on pole, and I want to make the most out of it today. Best place to start the race, and hopefully we can get, you know, we can keep going until, you know, until the end that way. We had a pretty good warm-up session this morning. You know, confirming the car has a good balance and everything else, but the track has been reset because it's been raining all night. So it should be a pretty interesting race because we don't know how the tires will behave, you know, how the fuel consumption will be then. But I'm pretty, you know, confident we got a good package all around to fight for victory again.
Good luck in the race today, and hopefully we need to talk to you afterwards for a winning
interview. Thank you very much. Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on that.
I didn't mean to sound disparaging, Shay, when I said normally people to Rani, because you're not exactly slowing the car down by putting Felipe Nasr in to qualify, are you? And it sounds like he's in good spirit today. That was a little bit earlier on today after morning warm up, and he sounds like they're both right up for this.
Oh, totally. And you know, you're not dispiriting and putting either of them down. They did take the qualifying race at Daytona victory, the Moto 100, back in January. So technically his second start from pole of the year, but his first pole position because he earned it on his own. But Felipe touched on it, their strength in the back half of the season. Laguna Seca, they've been third a couple of times. Nasr has, Pipo has actually won there. We've got Moto Petit Le Mans still to come. Well, they won that race as a duo 2 years ago. And then the streets of Long Beach, that's another track that both of them have gone well at before. In terms of looking at this second half push to try and win the championship, the 31 is sitting in very good stead. Unfortunately for them, the same can be said of the 55 Mazda and the 10 Acura that they're chasing.
Jeremy, that's a good point, isn't it? The race has come pretty thick and fast now. Lots of points to the end of the season, including, of course, the final long distance race by the end of the year. I mean, is that championship still within reach for some of those chasing teams in DPI?
Oh, yeah, very definitely. I think the top three are it's 111 points with the new point scoring system, but it's really in 10 in the old one. So you know, that would be the difference between two twice finishing first and third for each of the cars, so to speak. So, it's very much game on still for the championship, no question about it, in DPI.
Are we yet at the part of the season, Jeremy, where people might be thinking about the points finishes rather than just going for the outright victories, or is it still a bit early for that?
No, they're going to be going for the outright victories, and that's the best way to win a championship, isn't it? You get more points that way. You make points on your competition, so they're just going to be going out and trying to win the races. I don't think anybody, not even the points leaders, will be thinking, conservative at this stage. It's all out attack, trying to get as many points as they possibly can. I mean, if it comes to push right at the end of the race, are they going to potentially overextend themselves, go for one more position? No, probably not. But they're certainly, you know, they're going to be all out for the wins here, no question.
I think it was Ollie Jarvis, wasn't it, when we spoke to him last race, or maybe the race before, that says that very much depends who you're fighting for position with. If it's somebody who isn't in the championship hunt, then staying behind them, if you've got some of your competitors for the overall championship sitting behind you, is probably a good idea. If it's somebody that you want to take points away from, then it might be a little bit more elbows out and go for the position, whether that's for the win or just to improve and upgrade your finishing spot. Michelin Countdown to Green coming to an end here for the Road America IMSA Sports Car Weekend. John Hindhoff and Jeremy Shaw in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. And Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Reporter. Time to go sound and vision for the race.